ourselves to the teaching of God's word. Fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us?
Welcome to the Sustaining Word, a listener-supported teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Wisconsin. Join Pastor Joe Guglielmo for today's study from God's Word, the Bible. Stay tuned at the end of the broadcast for program ordering information.
Here is this war that's breaking out in heaven between Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, the devil, Satan, and his angels. Some say this is Jesus who does battle with Satan, because the name Michael means who is like God. Michael is one of those angelic beings that has been very close with God. And so manifested in his life is the characteristics of God. Isn't that what we desire? Less of me, more of you, Lord, right? I must decrease so he can increase in my life, because I want his nature to flow through my life. I don't want my flesh nature. I've seen what it does, and it's not pretty. I want the Lord's nature, his characteristics to flow through my life, and that's Michael. So here is this war in heaven, which tells me Satan and these demons still have access to heaven. Again, that's a concept we don't think much about. How could that be? In Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12, we see that. We see God conversing with Satan, and they're talking about Job. After this battle in heaven is completed, he's not going to have access to heaven anymore. And what God is going to do in heaven, he's also going to do on the earth. He's going to cleanse the earth to set up his kingdom on this earth. And I think this war takes place in the middle of the seven-year tribulation period, just prior to the Antichrist entering the Holy of Holies and demanding to be worshipped as God. Daniel 12:1 says, "At that time, Michael shall stand up, that the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book." I think this is when the Antichrist enters the Holy of Holies, demands to be worshipped as God, and I think the devil indwells the Antichrist. And doesn't the devil want worship? Absolutely. And so does the Antichrist. And so as they worship the Antichrist, the people are also worshiping the devil. Again, some people go to unbiblical extremes about the demonic warfare that's out there, and others ignore it completely. I think there's a balance. We have to be aware of it, but don't let it control your life. We see this whole idea of the spiritual warfare in Daniel 10, verses 10 through 13. Daniel said, "Then suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. And he said to me, 'O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright. For I have now been sent to you.' While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Then he said to me, 'Do not fear, Daniel. For from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the king of Persia." So this angel sent to Daniel the first day Daniel began to pray. But it took him 21 days to get there because of the spiritual battle going on behind the scenes. It was preventing this angel from getting to Daniel for 21 days. And it wasn't until Michael, which I think is one of the mighty or the stronger angels, came to assist him, and then he was able to complete his mission. Michael is the warrior angel. And I think that what God is doing is kind of lifting the curtain and giving us a glimpse of the spiritual warfare that's taking place around us. Do demons control nations? Yeah. Here it was the Persian Empire, had demonic forces working there. John Calvin wrote, "Whenever the ungodly cause us trouble, they are fighting under the banner of Satan and are his instruments for harassing us." Absolutely. You know, People can be pawns being used by Satan's being used by God. He's fulfilling the plans of God. It's giving people choices, but he's fulfilling God's plan. And we have to be careful as Christians because we can get caught up in that. And we could start doing things that are not working for God, but working for Satan. We need to understand the devil has schemes. I always think of him as, you know, Wildy Coyote. He's always trying to trip us up, catch us, you know. Hey, let's be the roadrunner, you know. Let's beep beep and get rid of the guy. Draw close to God, he's going to draw close to you. Focus on the Lord. Be sensitive to where the Lord is leading you. One writer said this. He said, bad angels called demons in the New Testament are without a doubt referred to here. In the course of time, these demonic powers gained a very strong influence over certain nations and the government of these nations. They became the controlling power. They used whatever resources they could muster to hamper God's work and to thwart his purposes. We get a rare glimpse behind the scene of world history. There are spiritual forces at work that are far in excess of what men who disregard revelation would suppose. They struggle behind the struggles that are written in the pages of history. There are demonic forces over cities, nations, and so on. They're trying to destroy people's lives. And think about it. What do we see happening as we look at the world? Well, we see the world trying to gather together to become part of a global government. And it sounds great. Well, yeah, we could use all our resources and work together. That's wonderful. But there's one problem. The heart of man is wicked. And so what if this global government is wicked? Where are you going to go? To the moon? To Mars? You have no place to go. At least Hitler only had a local area and people could still try and flee. But if it's a global government, there's no place. Global religion, one world religion. You know who they're going to come after? Us. They're already starting. And we see churches today that are moving towards apostasy, Christian churches, that are going to be the ones that are going to be attacking us. Oh, you're unloving. You're hateful. You're intolerant. I'm only following Jesus. And I don't hate anyone. I love people, but I'm not going to accept their sin. Not today, not tomorrow, never. I love them, but I'm not going to condone their sin. I'm not going to embrace their sin. I'm not going to say it's okay. We have to be careful. The other thing we have to remember is Satan can't do anything without getting God's approval. We see that in Job. Job had to get permission from God to attack Job. The first time God said, okay, do whatever you want, but, you know, don't hurt his flesh. And the next time God allowed him, Job, to get those boils, and it was pretty nasty. But spiritual warfare is real, very real. I'm not sure why, maybe because there's a lot of people that have unbiblical ideas about the spiritual warfare, and they're always, you know, talking about it and dealing with it. And so others just want to ignore it. It's kind of like with the spiritual gifts. You know, some people feel there's people who will just argue that gift of healing, gift of miracles, and all that are done away with. It was only for the first century church because they needed it. Do you think we need it today? I mean, look at the days we're living in. Of course we need it. But they will fight you tooth and nail because of the abuses that are out there. So they look at the abuses and they say, well, this can't be of today because look at the way these people are acting. You know, they're drunk in the spirit. They're doing this garbage. They're doing that. They're having this healing service. They're picking dates out there, you know. And, you know, we've seen on TV how some of these exposés on these televangelists with their healing crusades, that they're fake. You know, the one guy was on crutches and the guy came up and healed him and he was running up and down the aisle. And so the film crew interviewed the guy afterwards and said, well, you know, that was pretty amazing. You know, what was wrong with your legs? The guy said, oh, nothing. Those weren't my crutches. They were a guy next to me. I just, you know, got caught up in the thing and just threw my crutches to the ground and started running around. Well, yeah, so there's no healing there. That was, and so people negate things. Spiritual warfare is very real. And, you know, Paul in Ephesians 6, verses 10 through 13, gives us this insight. He says, finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Wow. It's a spiritual battle. And what Paul's saying is, you know, put on the whole armor of God. Why would you want to go into battle with just part of the armor? That would be foolish. I told you the story before during the first Gulf War, when our soldiers, our ground troops started moving in. There was this Iraqi soldier who was hiding in this little pit, and they came up to him and captured him. And his weapons were a Cubs t-shirt, sandals on his feet. Why? Well, because they put him into the military. He just came from the United States to visit family, and the war broke out, and they just threw him in without any armor. We have armor. God has given us belt of truth, breastplate of righteousness, prayer, sword of the Spirit, helmet of salvation, and on, that Ephesians 6 talks about. We need to put on the whole armor of God, because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age. These are titles for angelic beings or demonic beings. There's different rankings of angels and also demons. It's a spiritual battle. And if you want to stand strong in the Lord and the power of his might, you need to utilize the spiritual weapons that God has given to us, because they are for today. And we have to be ready for the spiritual warfare. I like what C.S. Lewis said. He said, some dismiss the devil to their peril while others are preoccupied with him. Avoid both errors and extremes. God is sovereign over Satan. The devil has no free hand in the world. He is on a leash and can do only what God permits. Absolutely. And I like that. And I think that's a good thing to look at today, because we look at, look at this political party that's in power now and look at what they're doing. And you know what? Isn't God in control? Isn't he aware of what's going on? We may not like it because we see the ramifications of it, but also, don't lose hope. Don't become angry and frustrated and disheartened. God's still on the throne. He hasn't left that throne. He's still in control, and that gives me great comfort. I think that's something that, I don't know, maybe it's just for me, but I just need to be reminded, no matter what's going on, our God is in control. And I can just rest in that. I don't have to be fearful. I don't have to be afraid. I can rest in the fact that things are not out of control, but they're happening just as God planned. So if I understand that and I believe that, then I'm going to go out there and share my faith, and I don't really care what people may say, what people may do, what happens. Just the way it is. Now, Satan is the god of this world. He has access to heaven, as we saw, along with his fallen angels. But something's going to change. Look at verse 8 here in Revelation 12. But they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. He was cast to the earth with his angels, were cast out with him. Wow. Long for that day, right? But where are they cast to? The earth. Now, yes, the devil and his demonic forces have access to the earth today, but they will not have access to heaven. God is going to cleanse heaven. And in the end, where are they going to end up? Well, we know, the lake of fire. That's where they're ending up. And we kind of get this idea that, you know, Satan is the king of hell. He hasn't even been to hell. Not yet. He's not the king of hell. And when he goes there, he is going to be the most punished one. He's not going to be no king. You know, we got, again, these are the concepts we have. You know, hell's going to be a great place. You know, we're just going to party. It's not. In fact, Jesus warns us, weeping and gnashing of teeth, where the worm is just going to consume the body continuously. The fire is not quenched because you have an eternal body, and it never ends. And that's for eternity. And for Satan, he knows his time is short. So he's going to try and destroy as many lives as he can. Have you ever seen so much destruction? was just listening to Pastor Mike McIntosh today, you know, in Cambodia, where they have sex trafficking and prostitution that's unbelievable. And you know the number one, I don't even know if I should use the word consumer, of these people in Cambodia, the number one consumer are American males who go to Cambodia for these children to have sex with them. That's where America is at, because we've turned from God. We look at all the immorality. We look at all the stuff that's going on. Look at the lives he's destroying. I mean, just with, we see it with drugs. And the government's behind some of this stuff. We want to legalize this drug, and this is okay, and that's okay. Why? Look at the destruction it's brought people. But too many people are making a profit on it because men are lovers of themselves. And you could read in 2 Timothy, I think it's chapter 3, the ramifications of that self-love, the destruction of that. It's all about me. The guy who ran over those people in the parade, that was all about him. He didn't care about anyone else. Do you think he cared about those people at all? Not at all. This is what Satan is doing to destroy. And we got to be careful that we don't allow him to do. Like Nehemiah said, we need to fight for our families. We need to fight for our communities. We need to fight for our state, our nation. Don't give in. Don't give up. And for Satan, you know, I know there are those that feel that he was cast out of heaven when he fell because of his pride eons ago, but that's not what we're told here. In fact, Jesus said in Luke 10:18, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. They go, well, see, he already fell. Well, not exactly. See, Satan was kicked out of heaven as a place of permanent residence when he sinned, but he has access to heaven. He goes before God. And, you know, all you have to do is, again, look at Job. We see him going to heaven before God. In fact, verses 6 and 7 of Job 1. Now there was a day when the sons of God present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. Wow. You know, you read that and shocking. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? So Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on. What does that remind of you? Going to and fro, walking back and forth. Have you ever watched National Geographic shows? What animal does that? A lion walks back and forth. He's stalking who he's going to devour. He's watching. That's what. And he's spreading his lie to deceive the whole world. Wow. Deception, Jesus said, is going to be a big part of the last days. And we see that, we see him speaking of deceiving the whole world in Revelation 12:9. So we need to be careful because deception is out there. But we have the truth. We have a truth tester, the Bible. Someone says something, well, let me see what the Bible has to say. Let me check it out. Let's see if what you're saying is true. It's that simple. And it says he deceives the whole world. What's the implication? That's even for Christians, right? He could deceive the whole world. The only way Christians can be deceived is when you take your Bible and you put it away and you listen to people and not check it out for yourselves. Paul praised the Bereans because after he spoke, after he shared his message with them, you know what they did? Hey, thanks a lot, Paul. We're going to go home and check this out and see what the scriptures have to say. And Paul said, praise God for that, right? Exactly. Christians would do that. Let's check it out. Let's see if what he's saying is true. In fact, that word deceive in the Greek is plano, and it's just misleading. It spoke of planets, and back then they thought planets just kind of wandered in the heavens. They didn't have any real source of direction, and that's the idea here, misleading, wandering from the truth. But now here's this war, and Satan and his demonic forces are cast out of heaven. Again, this is a spiritual picture we're getting here. And so this war is not come yet. It is coming. And I like I said, I believe it's around just prior to that 3.5-year mark of the 7-year tribulation period, prior to the Antichrist going into the Holy of Holies and demanding to be worshipped of God. I think that's when this war breaks out. When Satan is cast to the earth, I think that's when he enters the Antichrist What Satan also does, which is something that we don't think much about, is what he was doing with Job. What did he do with Job? He accused Job, right? Job only loves you, God, because you bless him. And if you don't bless him, he's not going to love you anymore. These are the brethren. Look at Revelation 12:10. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, "Now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down." Wow. The accuser of our brethren. I think that speaking, this person who's saying that, links them to the church. Because it says, our brethren. It's not speaking of anyone else. I think this is representatives of the church. They're accusing our brethren. But you know what? God can save us to what? The uttermost. He takes us out of the gutter and saves us to the uttermost. I am so thankful. Paul in Hebrews says that he always lives to make intercession for us. He's not going to lose us. It doesn't matter what Satan says. Why? Because we're cleansed by the blood of Christ. If you could go to heaven today and say, "You know what, Lord, can I see my file cabinet of all my sins?" It's the big one over there. Open it up. There's nothing in there. It's empty. How could that be? Covered by your sins, they're cast as far as the east and from the west to be remembered no more. There's no record of them. That's what God has done. That means there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. How many of you have ever felt condemned? Of course I have. Of course you have. We condemn ourselves. We beat ourselves up. I'm not good enough. Of course you're not. None of us are good enough. It's because he is that we live. Who condemns? Satan and his demonic forces. There is no condemnation. Think about it. Your children, they do something wrong. Do you condemn them and beat them up and ridicule them and mock them? No, you try to correct them. You try to help them to grow. You know, a little baby who's learning to walk, falls. "What's the matter with you? Come on, get up and walk." You would never say that. I mean, they take one step and they look like Frankenstein and they're falling all over. And you're cheering. You're going, "Oh, way to go." That's our God. He doesn't condemn us. He's like, "Good, you're going for it." Satan can condemn us and accuse us before the Father all he wants. But Jesus steps in and he says, "This one's mine." Now, does he accuse us of things that we've done falsely? I don't think so. I really don't. I think we have enough bad things that we do that he doesn't have to lie. He just lays it out. But Jesus says, "It's covered. It's taken care of." I like that. In Job 1, verses 9 through 11, we're told this. So Satan answered the Lord and says, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all that he has on every side? You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. But now stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." Again, like I said, Satan was saying, "God, he only loves you because you're blessing him. Don't bless him anymore. Let something bad happen to him. Then see what he does." But Satan found that Job's love for God was unconditional. You know, I have to admit, I experienced this in a huge way when I turned 30. You know, I thought I was Rambo. You know, I was in great shape. I thought I'm going to live to 100, running around, never have any problems. And I got diabetes, and it came out of nowhere. I mean, it wasn't like I had a little diabetes. I had, my sugars were over 450, and doctor admitted me to the hospital, and I was devastated because I no longer had control. I like to be in control, to be honest. I do. And I just remember, and I've told you this before, I sat in the hospital, in the physical therapy room. It was a huge room with big windows, and it was night. No one was there, and I was just sitting there crying out to God. I'm like, "God, how could this happen? I don't get it." And, you know, not like God was surprised by it. And I just said, "Lord, how am I going to be a pastor? I know what you called me to do." And this was when I was in Chicago. And still like 5 years or so down the road before God brought me up here. And I was just crying out to him. And I mean, I was overwhelmed. Big storm, lightning, crashing thunder. You know, it was pretty impressive sitting up there with these big windows. And I was just crying out to God. Rain battering the windows. And I just remember something really simple. And it wasn't an audible voice, but I know what the Lord was telling me. He said, "My grace is sufficient." And that was, "Okay, Lord, let's go."
Ourselves to the teaching of God's word, fellowship with believers, breaking bread in communion. Won't you come and join us as we feast on God's word?
That's all the time we have for today's teaching. If you would like a personal copy of this message, mention today's date when you contact us. Our mailing address is Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, Post Office Box 224, Manitowoc, Wisconsin 54221-0224. Our telephone number is area code 920-682-6163. Or visit us on the web at www.thesustainingword.com, where you can listen to past studies and review the study notes. It is the hope of Pastor Joe and the congregation of Calvary Chapel, Manitowoc, that you would grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Until next time, may the Lord nourish you with His sustaining word.